wasn't anything too exciting. We spent most of our time arguing over who was going to be able to choose the music and whether we would play a continuous run of Mary Shaping Carpenter. On the basis that I knew how to use the controls and Eric didn't, I tended to win the day, and I'm afraid she only got played once every now and again. I'm delighted to be here and honoured to be asked to give this presentation. In my role in Parliament now, as the chairman of the all-party group for local growth, local enterprise zones and local enterprise partnerships, it seems very fitting to be able to come and talk to you today about local growth. I think there is huge opportunity, and I echo what Will was saying, for local government to really step up to the plate and actually take a lead on this. And I think back to when I was a council leader, a very small local authority, relatively speaking, but actually having that opportunity to really shape the community and develop its opportunities, I think, is a very exciting opportunity that we've all got and you've all got in local government. And I think there is a job for local government to do, to actually bang the drum a bit louder and actually demand more from us in Whitehall, because one of the things this government has said is it wants to evolve that power out and away from Whitehall, to decentralise, to go into real localism. And I think to make sure that that gets delivered across departments, and as I'll touch on in a minute, this isn't just about DC or G or biz, in fact. We've got to make sure that we're making that voice very loud. And that's the purpose, actually, of the APPG, of bringing together local enterprise zone representatives, local enterprise partnership representatives, and people from authorities. And if you've not been along or had somebody from your authority come along, please do contact my office and we'll make sure you're on the invite list. Because we want to make sure that that group is able to make a case to government, not just about local growth being able to happen, but what more government needs to let go of or to facilitate to make sure the local government can deliver on growth. We can see real local growth delivered and driven locally. And that group is looking at a series of policy papers during the course of this year. And the input from local government directly in that would be very much welcomed. So please do get involved. We had a meeting just yesterday where Grant Shapps, Minister from DCLG, was responsible for the government's report and response to the Portis Review, came along and spoke a little bit about that. And we had a company there, CH2M Hill, who I suspect pretty much nobody in the room would have heard of, but they're the company behind the Olympics. They're the project managers that make sure it gets delivered on time. They're also behind Terminal 5, Panama Canal, a range of other developments. And they've offered, actually through the APPG, to come out around the country to share what they've learned in free workshops and how we can develop local growth. So if your area doesn't have one set up, again, actually through the New Local Government Network, my office is very happy to help facilitate and get CH2M to come out and give a free workshop for your areas to make sure that we get that message and that lesson that's been learned from the Olympics and other opportunities they've had to develop it for the rest of our country. Now, in terms of growth, the coalition government did come to office determined to promote strong, sustainable and balanced growth. Our economic policy objective is to achieve that strong and sustainable growth and having it far more evenly balanced across the country but also across various different industries. The plan for growth itself set out a wide range of government measures which are aimed at creating a more competitive tax system, making the UK the best place in Europe to start, finance and grow a business, encouraging investment and exports. And the Foreign Office itself is specifically doing a great deal of work on this, as you may have seen in the press over the last year or so, and creating a more educated and flexible workforce. And I think those four topics alone give an indication of how many departments need to be on board with this to make sure that over a period of time we can deliver. It will not be a short, sharp opportunity. This is going to be, I agree we will on that, this is something for the long term, but we've got to get that foundation, those building blocks, in place with the basics now. The government wants to create the right conditions for business to start and grow, removing barriers that are preventing them from performing to their full potential. And my background, both in local government and as a small business owner, tells me exactly how much problems business are caused by regulation, bureaucracy and red tape, and we need to do more about freeing them up as much as we do local government. The current economic environment does present a hugely difficult challenge for many businesses as well as local authorities. And the government has to be and remain committed to doing everything it can to enable business to grow and support it to develop, succeed and grow. And that's why in the Autumn Statement I think it was important that that further significant step forward was taken in the Growth Review, setting out a range of new measures to give that very much needed support for business and to encourage growth. The Growth Review itself brings an ambitious and relentless focus across the lifetime of this Parliament. So the role of government and what role it can play to enable the right conditions for business to both thrive and achieve strong, sustainable, and I'll repeat it again, balanced growth. The Department for Business is central to achieving this ambition. Their policies, which cover education, innovation, skills, enterprise, trade and markets, aligned to deliver that long-term and much-wanted and sought-after recovery. But it is about more than just what biz can do. It is also about making sure that we have a welfare reform, a welfare system that does make sure that it does pay to work. It's about making sure that the DCLG final planning reviews, as difficult as the changes in planning may be, actually do give an easier opportunity for growth and the ability to develop and build and grow our economy. It's about making sure that our education system and our skills development is strong enough to develop the people for the future. In my area of Great Yarmouth, where we have got an enterprise zone, it's focused around energy and engineering, particularly focused on the energy industry. And there is a really clear example there where there's a lot of work yet to be done to make sure that the absolute clear demand there is for jobs is matched by the skill set available locally. There's £50 to £80 billion worth of contracts. We're talking about having a more optimistic future. Well, just on the eastern coast of England, there's £50 to £80 billion worth of contracts, depending on how conservative and a small city you look at it, on offer over the next decade or two across the energy industry. That's a huge amount of job opportunities. We've got to make sure that we're developing the skills to actually fill those jobs locally as much as we can. What this means as a whole is that we have to be investing in and expanding and strengthening things like apprenticeships, reinvigorating and reforming informal adult and community learning, strengthening information with employers and learners, and looking to employers to lead action to address skills issues in their sectors. And in November, the Prime Minister announced that employers will shortly be invited to bid for a share of a new £250 million challenge fund to design, develop and deliver the vocational training that they need. And locally, there is work the local government can do just by spreading out some simple messages. One of the issues we've also got to look at, particularly some of the high-tech industries, is helping to educate the industry leaders themselves that there are transferable skills. They know that. What they don't always get right is how to pass that message out to the public. So that we move away from seeing adverts in local newspapers of jobs that aren't filled, because they're described in such a way that trade industry newspapers and people in that industry understand, but local people don't. And we've seen this in my area again in Great Yarmouth quite recently, with a number of jobs being advertised that basically need somebody who's willing to learn how to weld, or a mechanic who's willing to transfer and learn new skills, with a company willing to bring them on. But the advert written in such a way that a local mechanic or somebody interested in welding would never understand that's what the job involves and therefore it doesn't apply. When we multiply that up around the country, there are thousands of jobs out there that people aren't applying for that they're perfectly suitable to apply for. And we need to make sure that that message has got out to industry as well. And we can all play a part in that in our local areas. And that's why, among other things, we have to work with business. We have to take steps to strengthen the UK's manufacturing capability. Today's figures highlight that more than ever. We need to ensure a better business environment will address barriers to growth, encourage innovation, exports and business investment, as well as improving skills so that we can also build the UK's supply chains. Early in January, we announced the new Manufacturing Advisory Service, which is now available to all manufacturing businesses across England, looking to generate around £1.5 billion worth of growth, 23,000 jobs and protect around 50,000 more. But I keep mentioning balanced growth, and it is important that we see growth right across the country, not just in a small part. The economic resurgence we need must also be based on a range of industries and in the private sector. And it is reassuring to see 500,000 new jobs developed in the private sector since the general election, but as the employment figures show us, there's still a long way to go. So we need that growth from every type of firm or business to see a more diverse economy. The government has made it clear that its ambition is to encourage exports from and investment in a range of industries, not just in services. And hence, the Chancellor's visit to China last week being a clear indicator of that. We also need to build a new framework, a more local economic framework, which I think is crucial in restoring the economy to sustainable growth with clear local leadership. And in this, we have needed a change. It's why I was personally so supportive of the local enterprise partnerships. I think they've got such a huge role and opportunity in the future. the centrally driven approach of Whitehall knows best simply cannot continue. We need to move to a point where local people, local businesses are involved and have a direct say in how they're